Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Would saw Padraig Harrington back in the winner's circle for the first time since the 2008 PGA Championship. Neither. And he did it by overcoming adversity and fighting and clawing and scratching when all seemed lost, when he had nothing last night. Nothing in that final round. And he fought back, and he saw Ian Poulter take the lead, and he saw Ian Poulter stumble. The way he fought and clawed to get back in that position going into this morning, and then to see Poulter hit two more balls in the water, to see Patrick Reed play the bear trap in four over, to see himself hit in the water on 17 in regulation, to see Daniel Berger post 64 impressively, and then to continue to have faith in yourself to birdie 18 and to end up in a situation where you could end the drought. You go from giving a 21-year-old kid who had no business being there in the first place starting the final round nine back to then eventually winning in the playoff. Really impressive stuff. And to bounce back on 17, and as slow as a player he is, we're going to talk about pace of play over the next couple of weeks on this show, to bounce back the way he did from all the distractions that were getting to him, and to bounce back the way he did and get himself in a system and a mindset where he knew he could hit that shot from all of the distractions, to step up there and execute and hit it to 2 feet or whatever it was. Obviously, Berger unfortunately hits it in the water right after that, but the way he bounced back was really, really impressive stuff, and you have to commend him for keeping his head in the ball game the whole time, because you could very easily say adios at that point, and he stuck in there and really fought out. We got to commend him for that, because he could have said adios a lot sooner. And from having nothing last night to scratching and clawing and doing what he did today, really impressive stuff. And Ian Poulter's got to be really upset, and Patrick Reed's got to be kicking himself too. He really had a great opportunity to win as well and kicked that by the wayside. So here we are, and Padraig Harrington's back in the winner's circle, and the PGA Tour rolls on to Doral. We are going to come back. Luke Morrow's going to talk some stuff with us. We're going to also have Seth Rothman and talk the NBA. Major League Baseball. No, not Major League Baseball. The National Hockey League, it's been a long day. National Hockey League trade deadline, and specifically the Rangers, will join us from MSG. Luke joins us next. We will be back in 30 seconds. This is Teeing It Up on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And we'll be joined momentarily by a man, Luke Morrow, that has some news for us since we last talked to him. So we'll get him on here momentarily, and then we'll be joined by Seth to talk about all the Rangers shenanigans as they made three deals before the trade deadline hit. Luke will be joining us momentarily from sunny and warm Florida. It's cold and 36 here, and we welcome, hoping you press the right buttons, we welcome in Mr. Luke Morrow.
Good evening.
You like that? You like the sound of that?
I love it.
So, Luke, you decided to become an ordained minister. Did you need to speak to God after dealing with me for the last 5 years?
Absolutely. It'll help me get through our NFL show better each season.
Seriously, though, what was behind this decision? Because I personally think this is really cool.
I don't know. It was something that I thought about, or I have thought about for quite a few years. I always liked the idea of doing it and just being able to marry two people or work a wedding if ever given the opportunity. So that's something I want to do, and it's something I would like to do. So I wanted to have the ability to be able to do that if the opportunity ever presented itself.
Would you, because one of the things that I'm considering for my wedding when it happens 5, 10, whenever years down the line is to stream it or broadcast it as an addition of teeing it up. How do you feel about your ministry moment being streamed worldwide?
Hey, I would love it. Whatever the people I would be working for would like. But, you know, I just hope for, whether it's filmed or not, I hope to have the opportunity.
As we sit here right now, when you and I reconvene on the Sunday sprint come September, will we have an NFL team back in Los Angeles?
I'll say no, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen. I mean, I think at this point, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of it and what has to happen behind closed doors and whatnot, but for me, it just seems like it would be such too quick of a turnaround to be able to pull it off for this year. I know it's something that
not for the 2015 season, but for
2016. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
My point is, do you think we'll know who that team is by the time we reconvene?
Oh, man. Good question. I mean, people have been asking for it for so long. I mean, I'm sure it'd be beneficial to the NFL. I'll say no, not quite yet. I think it will happen eventually and in the near future, but I won't say before this season.
There's been a lot of talk about what the Vikings will do when it comes to Adrian Peterson. He's obviously been, I'm not sure if he's been officially reinstated, but this now goes back to the CBA process. He is reportedly unsure of himself and if he wants to go back to Minnesota. The Vikings are reportedly open to having him back. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I mean, as a Vikings fan, I hope that they have him back. I think last year's team is a team that would probably be in the playoffs if they had AP. They were still able to go 7-9 with him playing just one game and having to insert a rookie running back in his spot and everything else that they had to deal with. So I would love to see him added to the team. I mean, I think he's still, even with the year off, the best running back in the league, and he would be a huge advantage to the team. But in terms of everything that's happened between the two sides off the field, I think poorly handled on both ends, and I think it's kind of ridiculous now at this point. You know, I've defended AP all along with what happened in order for him to get suspended. I've been his biggest fan his whole career, but I haven't been happy with how he's handled things since the whole reinstatement and everything. And to lash out against the Vikings, you know, I don't know what more Minnesota could have done. And for him to feel hurt, I mean, there's no loyalty in sports to begin with. All athletes have to deal with hurt feelings. And now to whether he truly is asking to be traded or not and saying he will never play for the Vikings again, I mean, I just don't get where he's coming from, and I think he's being a little spoiled at that point.
It's an interesting, because we talked about this at the end of last year, how close are the Vikings? And AP could be the guy that puts you over the top.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that'd be if they were to get rid of him, and of course it would depend what they got back for him in the trade. But it would be a huge loss for them because they have now a quarterback entering his second year in Teddy Bridgewater, and AP would be a huge help to the young quarterback. And then if you take away a guy like AP, I mean, they were able to bounce back pretty well last year, especially with it happening in the season, where this year they'd be able to plan to not have Adrian Peterson. But then taking his spot would be Jerick McKinnon, who's a second-year running back, not only in the NFL, but at the position. He was a college quarterback, and he's a guy that people are unsure if he could be a true number one, so you'd have to find a true running back potentially. It just created a lot of issues. So, I mean, AP, as good as he is, whether he's on the team or not, it'll make a huge difference for the Vikings season.
I'm talking with Luke Morrow here. Let's switch gears to baseball because we don't have a lot of time with you. Your Red Sox went shopping last week.
It's been an exciting off season. I'm looking forward to the season as a Red Sox fan, as always, I guess. But the team they've assembled.
What do you think Moncada, is that the pronunciation of his last name? What do you think he can bring this year for the Red Sox?
You know, I don't know how big of an impact he'll be able to have this season. He's a young guy. I personally wasn't following him at all up until the signing. So, I've kind of been playing catch-up. But from what I've heard, it's certainly an exciting addition. And people are saying that he's the equivalent to a number one draft pick. But instead of drafting him, you spend the money to get him instead. So, the Red Sox have a good farm system to begin with, and now he's another good young talent added to the fold here, and we'll see if he has an impact this year or if we have to wait a little longer for him to show his true colors at the MLB level.
Final thing, or one of my final questions for you today. As you look at the Orlando Magic, your beloved Orlando Magic, how far are they from actually being a team that can contend in the lowly Eastern Conference again?
They're an interesting situation because I think they're a lot better than the record shows, and I'm not sure exactly the real reason for the struggles. I thought part of it had to do with the head coach, and I think they've played better since James Borrego has taken over. But I don't know what's holding them back. I think they have good young talent. You have four good young guys that fill out four of the starting five with Vucevic, Peyton, Oladipo, and Tobias Harris. I like those four a lot. And all four are averaging, or three of the four, I should say, are averaging, I think, at least 17 points a game this year. So they need more depth from big guys. They need to play better defense. And they need more depth off the bench. But I think they have some good pieces that they can build around. They just maybe have to bring in the right head coach to be able to lead these guys.
There's a big article on SI.com today about college basketball and how it's broken and we're getting these plotting, low-scoring games, ugliness. Having called a season of college basketball, if there's one rule change you could try to get past, what would it be?
Ooh, I can only settle for one. I have been saying I think the shot clock needs to be reduced. I think 35 seconds is way too long, even for college basketball. I know that's something that's been getting more publicity of late, and I've been saying that for a while. I think 30 seconds would be sufficient, even if you were to go to 24. But, all across the world, college basketball is the only one that uses the 35-second shot clock, and there's really no reason for it. I think it slows down the game and makes possessions a lot longer than they really need to be. So that's certainly if not on the top of my list, close to it in terms of what I would change if I was in charge of college basketball.
Luke Morrow, always good to have you on this beloved institution that is teeing it up with Jeremy Shun. Please enjoy the warmth down there because it's nasty here. What's the current temperature down there?
Good question. It's probably high 60s. It's a little cooler today.
Just a little cooler in the 60s?
Yeah, just a little.
Oh, yeah, you're a lucky man. Thank you, Luke, as always.
My pleasure, as always.
We are now going to he calls in. Talk to Seth Rothman of the InsideHockey.com website. Rangers have been very active in the trade deadline. He'll join us from Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, momentarily. So we will wait for him. Crazy day. They got press conferences, got to type your articles, and then you got to cover a game, which is always an interesting thing when you got to cover a game. And for so many of these teams, and no matter the sport, I mean, look at the NBA with the movement that happened going into that deadline last week. You got moving parts, and we welcome in from Madison Square Garden, InsideHockey.com, Ranger writer Seth Rothman. Good evening, Seth.
Hey, Jeremy, how's everything, buddy?
I'm good. Let's get right to it. Coming into this weekend, did you expect the Rangers to be as active as they wound up being?
Well, I knew they were going to make some moves. You obviously didn't know which moves they were going to make. Did I expect Keith Yandel was going to be wearing number 93 and, you know, blue tonight? No. I don't think a lot of people did, but you certainly expected, I think, the other moves that they made. I think you kind of saw those coming. Obviously, Yandel was, you know, it was the way the Rangers like it. It was out of left field a bit, but, you know, look, it's a move that propels the Rangers to the very top of the Eastern Conference playoff chase, and after that, well, you know, you have to wait and see where it's going to take them.
What does Yandel do for this Ranger team right now? A lot of people say this is a win-now team. They were obviously in the finals last year. Is this one of those trades that happens for the right here, right now, and is a moment in time for which they traded Yandel for?
That's exactly right, and I think it's a win-now move. Yandel is signed for next season as well. The Rangers are getting him at 50% off. Not Nashville. Arizona's picking up a little bit of their 50%. It is a win-now move. And the Rangers, a lot of their offense, they like to move their offense from their defense. And so they really want to have a puck mover to do that. And Keith Yandel is one of the best puck-moving defensemen in the NHL. So they really got one of the better guys to fill a role that they need filled. And I think that is why they got him. They got him for this season. They got him for next season. After that, we'll see where the salary cap takes them. But this is a move made because they want him to be there for them for this season.
With the other two moves, you said you expected them. Why were Ranger fans expecting Glenn Sather to make those moves?
Well, the Stepniak move was a bit of a surprise, but that was more of a cap-clearing move so they could get James, you know, Shepard. And Shepard is a bottom six forward. He can play a little bit of center. He can play a little bit of wing. Alain Vigneault was coy today when I asked him in what role he sees Shepard. He's not going to play tonight due to some travel issues. Shepard, if they choose, they can put him at the third line center, which would move Kevin Hayes to the wing, which I think is where Kevin Hayes probably belongs. And then they can have the fourth line as well. Or they can move Shepard as the fourth line winger, get Tanner Glass out of that lineup. So what it does is it elongates your lineup by having an extra forward there to kind of allow people to settle into roles that maybe better define them.
Talking with Seth Rothman here from InsideHockey.com. Seth, Matt Zuccarello was signed to a contract extension today. There are a lot of rumors that he was on the move. Did that surprise you?
It did not surprise me that he was not moved. Glenn Sather, in fact, said today that even if he put Zuccarello on the market, that didn't mean he was going to trade him. It just meant he was going to listen. The Rangers did, just a couple minutes ago, put out the press release. They have officially re-signed him. Reports are 4 years, $18 million with a limited no-trade clause, which is only for the first year of that contract, and then he's eligible to be traded after that. So, a great move for the Rangers. That was what they were offering him, was 4 years at $4.5 million per. The rumors were he wanted $5.5 million per. So he really kind of came down to their price level. because he wanted to remain on this team, and so they were able to get that done today.
I don't have it offhand, but I think the Rangers have basically gotten the majority of the points that they could have gotten with Henrik Lundqvist out. Did you expect them to play this long? This well without the King for this long?
No, I don't think anybody did. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, one of the best goaltenders in the world. He's the best player on the team. What are they? I think they're 10-2-2, if memory serves, without him, which is amazing. That was not what a lot of people expected out of them while he was out. So, you know, they've been really good without him. That Cam Talbot really has not been all that good and has allowed a lot of goals. I think the Rangers have allowed at least 3 goals in 9 of the 13 games or something like that. So they've allowed a lot of goals with Cam Talbot in net. They need to get that down. Now, Keith Yandel is not a defensive defenseman by any means, so he's really not going to be preventing a lot of goals. His goal is to get the puck to the net for the Rangers. So he's more of an offensive defenseman. The Rangers have had trouble keeping the puck out of their net with Cam Talbot. That's something that they need to improve, and they'll need to improve it tonight against one of the best teams in the NHL.
2 things. When is Henrik expected back? And B, looking at the Rangers' biggest rivals, did they make the moves that you thought they would do today?
Well, Jeremy, I've had about 18 different people on Twitter today ask me what Henrik Lundqvist's status is. I'll give you the answer I've been giving them. The Rangers have not given the information about Henrik Lundqvist. Glenn Sather today said that he will be fine, needs a little bit more time. The Rangers, he was supposed to go for another medical checkup soon, whether that was last week or it's this week or it's the following week. It should be happening in the very, you know, near term. And once that happens, we should have a better understanding of when Lundqvist gets back. The Devils are in firm rebuilding mode. They did not do anything. The Islanders made a couple of very small moves today, trying to bolster their bottom six. We'll see how that goes for them. They've been kind of struggling a little bit here as we enter March. They've been a little bit up and down, and a team that you wonder if they've been playing above their heads early in the season. Can they keep it up? And look, a lot of teams in the East have made a lot of, you know, moves today. Tampa made a big move to get Coburn. They're trying to get better. So a lot of teams that are going for it made a lot of moves today. That's what the NHL trade deadline is all about. And the question is, which one of those teams, one of those teams will see glory in the end because of those moves?
Final thing, Seth, as you sit here right now inside the world's most famous arena, do you think, it's a little bit of a hypothetical, but do you think the Rangers have put themselves in the best position possible to return to the finals?
I think they've put themselves in a very good spot. They have a defense core right now that is loaded. It's loaded with puck-moving defensemen. It's loaded with some defensive, you know, D-men. I think their forward core is a lot deeper than it was yesterday. So, yes, I think they put themselves in a position where they are among the favorites. Now, look, anybody in the Eastern Conference, any of the 8 teams that get in, can make it to the Stanley Cup Final. Have they ensured themselves of getting back to the Stanley Cup Final? Of course not. But what they've done is they've put themselves in a spot where they have as good a chance as anybody to get back there. I don't think we were saying that 48 hours ago. So, you know, we'll see where it certainly takes them. But right now, if you look at the Rangers on paper, they are probably one of 2, maybe 3 favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference right now on paper. Of course, paper does not mean a whole lot when the playoffs start.
Seth Rothman from InsideHockey.com, inside Madison Square Garden. Have fun tonight. Should be a fun atmosphere.
It should be fun. Thanks, Jeremy.
That is it for Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. Our thanks to Luke Morrow. Our thanks to Seth Rothman. We hope that you stay warm and enjoy your Monday evening, everybody. And we will see you right back here next week on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.